is Will Tinkin.
Thanks for listening to the Bitter Comics Podcast. And here's your host, JT Foreman.
Good job, dude. Can I have a high five?
Yes.
Good job. That's really nice.
Hey, Will, thanks a lot for coming to do the intro to the show again. You got to go. Dude, how come you can never stick around for the rest of the show? Like, he always just leaves. Look, mate, are you sure you're okay to drive home? I mean, how much beer did you give him, Will?
Just a sip. I poured it on the floor, and then he just kind of crawled over and like licked it.
Oh, okay. Well, he's four. I mean, the four-year-olds eat stuff off the ground all the time.
Yeah.
Karma's looking at us accusingly.
Don't judge me. Yeah. You come to my home, I have water and that's it.
There you go. Well, thanks, Will, for doing the intro. I'll see you later. That was my fake sound effect of him closing the door. Welcome to episode 80 of Bitter Comics. I am JT Foreman, and I am here with some new friends. An old friend, Will the Thrill Lushbow.
Yeah, Will the Thrill. Yeah, that's what everyone calls me right before I do a dangerous stunt. Yeah, there it goes.
A new friend, Jamie. Is it Avila or Avila?
Avila.
Avila. Or is it, it's? There's only one L, so it's not the Y sound. So I did take Spanish in high school. That's about all I remember from it. If you held a gun to my head, I might be able to count to 20, maybe, but probably not.
That's more than me.
Jamie Avila. And the wonderful, the amazing, the girl whose first name I finally got down, but I forgot to ask her last name.
Sorry.
Carmen. Hi, Carmen.
Skefkin.
Skefkin?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Skefkin.
Gefkin.
No, that's not as often. That's not as awesome. Gefkin.
Gefkin.
I was thinking Geffen, Geffen Records. Yeah.
I
Gefkin.
Wish.
Gefkin.
My dad's first name is David, so David Geffen, that would have been. He's always been wanting them to mess up on a check somewhere.
Yeah.
It
winds
up to my dad somehow.
Well, you should just say your name a little faster, and him say his name. Yeah, I'm David Gefkin.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, David Geffen, wow, really? I have a demo album for you. Has anyone ever tried to give your dad a demo album?
Not that I know of.
Has anyone ever tried to give you a demo album to give to your dad?
No.
Probably at a community college with those guys with their rap CD.
Yeah.
Come listen to this real quick.
Yeah, well, anytime you're out at a club that's got a live band, what you should do is, I'm Carmen Gefkin. My dad is David Gefkin. I think you're really great. Can I have a demo to give to my dad? You can get all kinds of free albums that way.
Yeah, that would totally work.
I think it would. Just kind of make the case silent. David Gaffney.
And you'll end up being closer with your dad.
That's true,
Because
you'll
end up hanging out with him.
You get to share music that neither of you really like all that much.
Just bonding over some horrible mixtape.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, these people actually do this in public?
Do you look down on them too? Yeah, I do too.
I do too. This is horrible. Yeah. They should have just had comedians, I told you. Well, thanks a lot for coming, guys and gal, to the show. This may be a dumb gal, of course, is the southern or the western one for a woman or lady. But someone, when I was living in Connecticut, a girl got mad at me for referring to her as a gal. Yeah. So do you consider the term gal more of or insulting? Is it just kind of a friendly-ish, or is it, just...
I don't know. I think people are just weird about, pronouns to begin with.
That's true.
I have a friend, and he's kind of a social justice, activist kind of person.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gets mad if, you say guys, and it's there's girls in a group, too. So you're oh, hey, guys, what's up? And he's there are girls here, too.
There will never be equality in this world until we have gender-neutral pronouns.
Exactly,
that's what we need.
So I really don't care.
Yeah, we don't need he. We don't need she. We need to just call everyone that.
Yeah.
Calling people because we're all people.
People, human. I think it was Finland. They just came up with a gender neutral pronoun, but it's not. There are a couple of countries out there that their government has a language Nazi organization. I know in France they have a panel of French literature professors that get together every year to come up with French names for all of the new things that come out. In I think it's Spanish, compact disc is just compacto disco or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's what someone told me. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Jamie Avila, do you know how to say compact disc in Spanish?
But okay. Wait, how is this like a neutral? Right. Like what?
Yeah,
is,
yeah. It's the compacto disco or something disco like that. Compacto. Disco compacto, yeah. And yeah, that's not Spanish. Okay,
yeah.
That's let's put O's. That's like that's how I used to do Spanish when I didn't know anything about Spanish. I would just put O at the end of everything.
Yeah.
Hello, O. How are you doing, O? Like, see, I speak Spanish.
I didn't think that SpaghettiO was like a different brand of spaghetti.
Yeah, this is just the Mexican spaghetti. Okay, yeah, awesome. Yeah.
Like, you must have went to the Vallarta. And got that, yeah.
That's awesome.
Fuck you, SpaghettiOs. No, just kidding.
See, I've always seen the term gal as, you know, it's just a pronoun for a female, but there's like kind of a tougher connotation to it. It's like this is a girl who will punch you, basically, is a gal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wonder why.
You know, and it's like, you know, because like most women, if you say something insulting to them, they might throw their drink in your face or they might slap you. Mm-hmm. But a gal will make a fist and punch you in the face.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Like, have so, like a cigarette hanging out on the side of her mouth, too, and she like punches you in the face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So gal,
you're not gonna hurt me, are you?
So okay, like okay, in the movie Grease, when like the female, like at the end of the movie when she's at the carnival with John.
Yeah, Holden, the pink ladies would be gals.
Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because those look like girls who will punch you in the face.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, my grandma told me the other day, like Saturday Night Fever came on.
Yeah.
Well, you know how he walks. She was telling me, she goes, "You should walk like that."
You should try that. Yeah, what would that, how would that benefit you? Like, what's gonna happen? What does she think like is gonna happen if you start walking like that? Like, you'll get a job.
What,
you gotta talk louder. I can barely hear you. See, on the mic check he did great, but now I'm gonna mumble and I'm just messing with you, man. Okay, so well, we begin the episode once again with my opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. Now, this is episode 80, so for my insensitivity in episode 79, I would like to apologize to black people, Will and Grace, music, periods, first boners, aborted fetuses, and chicken.
Aborted fetuses had it coming. So.
Yeah, really? Well, I think it was wrong what I said to them.
So did you end up offending black people while you offended chicken?
No, yeah. Actually, I think I might have.
Yeah, because
I believe what I said was that I was angry at black people for taking the stereotype of liking fried chicken because I love fried chicken.
Yeah.
And I want white people to have that stereotype.
You should just take pictures of you in like Popeyes and KFCs and start. Yeah.
Actually, I don't really like Popeyes that much, but KFC is pretty awesome, and Church's is good. Church's is awesome. Actually, the best fried chicken I've ever had was at Come and Get It Chicken and Waffles. It was used to be, you know, just on the other side of downtown Clovis or downtown Fresno.
It's a place.
It was amazing.
It's open only Friday and Saturday, right?
It's only Friday and Saturday from 10 to 3 in the morning. So it's like, you know, it's only open after you leave the club and stuff. And it was amazing. But I think they closed down. I was there a couple weeks before they closed. And I remember when they told us we closed, I said, "I'm going to have to get a buzz just so this can kill it."
Yeah.
I was so proud of myself when I thought of that. I was like, every once in a while I say something really clever. I'm very proud of myself after I say those things.
Some pats on the back.
Exactly. Well, if anyone out there would like to know specifically why I'm apologizing to each of these things, check out episode 79 and all my previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you would like to subscribe to the podcast, please go to that website, scroll down a little bit, and on the right-hand side of the page, there are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or Yahoo. And if you feel I owe any additional apologies, or to make any comments, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com, and in the subject line, please put, "Boney Beasley is awesome."
He's a really good guy.
Yeah, Boney Beasley is awesome. You know, we were talking about the jacuzzi shows that he used to put on.
Oh, best.
Yeah, he was one of the very few people I've ever seen successfully do an actual variety show.
Yeah,
so he'd have comedians and he'd have singers and music. And one time on one of his shows, he had some belly dancers. And I think the thing that really made those shows great was that he was really great at doing the transition from one act to the next.
Yeah.
You know, he would go up in between and he would do something that, you know, whatever the jokes that he would tell or whatever, that would really ease, because switching from music to comedy is not... Well, it's not easy.
The live band helped too, because there was always kind of like a musical.
Yeah, a little bit.
Kind of, I remember when they introduced me, he did this whole thing like, "Oh, the first comic, what's it?" And he looked at the band and asked like, "What's his name?" And they'd play like a musical number, and he'd spin around and then ask, "What's my name again?" And like, it was just a cool like,
it'd be a
perfect transition, yeah, because it kind of meshed comedy with music.
Yeah, yeah, he was really great at that. Yeah, I wish he'd do this.
And I think it's because of his rap group. Like, he's just used to doing that. Like,
yeah, Argyle Pimps
is really funny.
Do you remember what the name of his rap group was?
Argyle Pimps. Yeah,
Argyle Pimps. That's right. Cool, cool.
So that's pretty cool. So he's awesome. He's good for the email.
Yeah, I like. Well, I like Boney Beasley personally a lot too. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, so guys, thanks a lot for doing the podcast. We're actually not at my home one bedroom apartment studio.
Thank God.
We're actually doing the show at Will's house. Will, thanks for putting us up here. Okay, that
means the world to me.
But what's going on with you guys? Anything exciting happening lately, Jamie? You,
I woke up alone for the first time in a few days.
So. You woke up alone for the first time in.
Yeah.
So, like, you used to have a girlfriend and you broke up, or
no? I was just sleeping in someone's house.
Oh, okay. So
you stayed out too late.
You slept in your own bed.
You've been staying.
So what you're saying is you didn't get laid last night.
Yeah.
It's you had been getting laid pretty consistently, so you just wanted to brag about how much more sex you're having than me. Thanks, I appreciate that. I actually have a girlfriend, and I don't get to do it much. That's aggravating.
When you have a girlfriend and wake up alone,
I can handle not being able to get laid when I'm single. But having a girlfriend and not getting laid, that sucks.
You just can't handle it, yeah. Because usually you can handle it. What do you do when you can't handle it? Like,
it's like saving for your retirement your whole life, and then finding out that the banking crisis has taken all your money away. So now you got to keep working. I'm like, wait a second, what have I been doing all this work for?
What's reality? It's unfortunate. Oh, look, we got a pizza guy coming.
Hey, pizza's here. Awesome. Well, hey, since the pizza's here, we're gonna take a quick break. I'm JT Foreman here with
Jamie
and
Carmen and Will. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back.
This is
JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and we are back. I'm here with Jamie, who's still talking about Homer Simpson. And Carmen and Will.
Yeah, and I guess
so. The Homer Simpson, are you talking about Homer Simpson? Or were you just pointing out?
No, I don't want, you know, let's not talk
Will's,
about
Will's
it.
Will's tattoo?
Yeah. I don't go around.
I've known Will for like.
I don't go and talk about your skin.
I've known Will for a couple of years, and I just now noticed the tattoo that is on his left arm.
Because you haven't known me that well for
a couple
apparently
not.
Yeah.
I wasn't really paying attention. I didn't even look at your tattoo. I feel terrible. It's one of those Homer Simpson sperms.
What's my eye color without looking at me? Guess it. This is going to be great for audio listeners.
Brown.
Okay, all right, you're right. I think that's because I'm brown, so I only have like one choice.
That was my guess. I really didn't know.
You know, speaking of brown, what's up with that? What's up with brown chicks? Not that they're all brown, but there's some who just. You were complaining about something earlier. It's a woman who just thinks that she can make you jealous, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, you know, like.
It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, all like the club ladies like that. Like,
so you're not the kind of guy that gets jealous over anything.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not.
This is Jamie the non-jealous. Are you the kind of person who never gets jealous, or are you just not jealous over this woman because she doesn't really mean that much to you?
Does she deserve your jealousy?
No, nobody.
Yeah.
Jealousy is, there's so many issues that go into that, like that leads to jealousy, that it's
kind of like, let me be me and you be you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It's like she's going to go and flirt with other guys hoping you'll throw a swing at them just to prove how much you like her.
Throw a swing at them. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that will let people swing at me first
But you won't speak up no matter how many times I ask you to. You're talking in the microphone.
I think he's about to take a swing at you.
I'm getting jealous of the microphone. Yeah, I'm getting jealous.
I think
of
you should swing at him, and then he'll.
Do you want me to talk about the story in Reno?
Go for it.
I don't want you to talk about it, though.
Jamie, tell us about the story in Reno.
Well, I was... Here's an example.
Wait, Reno, Nevada, or Reno is the club, the bar? In...
Reno, Nevada. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
All right, let's go over like some bullet points of what you're going to talk about in the story.
Bullet points?
Yeah.
A presentation we're going to be performing to get the slides out.
Yeah. Okay, well, never mind. Continue.
Go ahead, please, Jamie.
While I was in the elevator, I was about to leave, and there's two drunken whores in there.
Okay, what made them whores? What made them whores, and what made them drunk? Well, I know alcohol made them drunk, but how are they whores?
I made them whores. I put the stamp on. It's expensive, so that's...
No, okay, I was just wondering, well, like...
Well, one of them is the good friend taking care of the drunk friend, and then, well, the drunk friend gets in the elevator and just sits down. We're only going down one floor. She just sits down and sprays her legs open. Like, I see her teal panties with her black dress, her little black skirt.
That, you sound grossed out.
You're just like, ugh, she's panties.
Or do you just not like the color teal?
I'm not really a teal fan. I used to like it, but not too much. But anyways, so there's this guy in the elevator. He wanted the good friend not to leave. So when the elevator was trying to shut, he kept on sticking his arm in and stopping it. Well, after like four or five times, and she wanted nothing to do with it.
Wait, are you in the elevator at this time?
Yeah, I'm in the elevator with these two girls. And the guy keeps on sticking his arm in. So after a while, like, I know he's like no threat. And I just tell him, I go, look, man, she just don't want to be with you. There's a club full of other girls. I mean, just go find one.
Just,
you know?
You're just leveling out and being real with him, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just being real. I'm not trying to start a conflict or anything. And then he like kind of like buffs up and he gets mad because I'm telling him the truth. And then he says, I don't want to not have to knock those glasses off your face. So
what a confusing way to say that he wants to fight you.
Yeah,
I don't want to not be knocking them glasses off.
Or, I think he said, "Don't make me knock those glasses off your face."
Oh, okay.
Or something like that. But basically, he was saying that he would hit me, but he don't want to knock the glasses off my face. So when someone says that, I know they're no threat. Like that's like the automatic. So
that's when you take your glasses off yourself and just headbutt him right in the nose.
I took my glasses off, put them on the ground, leaned in closer, and told him, look, now you have nothing to worry about. And the look on his face, priceless.
Yeah.
But could you see the look? Could you see the look on his face, though, because you weren't wearing your glasses?
I could barely.
You had to squint.
Yeah, yeah.
I have 20/20 vision.
Yo, he saw the look on his face was priceless because it looked all...
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Time out. You said you have 20/20 vision without your glasses?
Yeah.
Why are you wearing glasses?
It makes everything sharper and, like, the depth.
Are you a Danny Minch? Because his glasses are fake too.
Yeah,
they're not fake. You're
making your vision better than actual human vision is what you're doing, right?
I hate you.
You want to get some bionic
eyes? I've worn
eyes
glasses
going on
since
over
I was 3 years old.
You're like bionic
old. Okay,
eyes.
I have contacts on right now. If it weren't for that, I wouldn't be able to read the screen on the laptop sitting in front of me. And you don't have to wear glasses and you choose to. I hate
no,
you.
I don't choose.
You're a horrible human
choose.
Being.
You're making
seriously.
Fun of his disability.
Okay.
Like
if
someone can't walk, you're not going to walk fake crutches
I don't
around.
Choose to.
You're like, not going to like appropriate a disability.
I got to use the restroom.
I could read better. I could read a lot better. Like I could read like...
I think people with glasses should be considered an oppressed minority.
I agree.
How much shit did you have to take when you were growing up?
A lot.
Yeah, me too.
And then I finally got contacts and nobody noticed. They're like, I'm like, hey, look, I'm cool now. They're like,
Nah, you're still the same geek. You just don't have glasses on. Oh, wait, hold on. I went and got glasses. I learned how to stick my finger in my eye without freaking out.
Exactly.
I went through a lot of effort for you guys to treat me like a human being.
I've heard that a lot. Like, I've heard a lot of people tell me, like, oh, do you need those, or are those just for looks? No, wow, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. but dumb people have told me that, so.
Well, no, Danny Minch, his glasses are fake. He does not actually need glasses. He has perfect vision. He wears fake glasses. And, you know, it's just the image that he likes and the look that he likes. So they're just cosmetic for him. And you know, as someone who's worn glasses since they were 3 years old and had to take shit my entire life about it, you know, and the worst part about it is that all the kids around me were so uncreative about it. You know, all the kid come up with was four eyes. That's just depressing. I mean, it's bad enough you're making fun of me. You don't even care enough to come up with something original, like, you know, you can talk to the man on the moon with sign language or something.
One time when I bombed at Starving Artist, like, I walked outside and I've never met Johnny Osborne. I've seen him around and whatnot. Never met him. Well, I walk outside and, like, yeah, I bombed. Like, I know that. Like, it wasn't a secret. And he, like, the first thing he tells me is, like, oh, you look like you're getting raped on stage. Well, like, I'm not mad about, like, the comment or anything, but because that's what it looked like. But think of something more a little creative than that. Like,
well, he wasn't saying it to make fun of you, though. You know, he's another comic who was empathizing in that situation. I don't think he was making fun of you.
I don't know, but at the same time I kind of feel that way too, because he did tell me, like, how I did, because I had this one long joke that this in my mind it would take, like, because I thought of it on the way there.
Yeah
In my mind
it was a new bit that you tried and it didn't work.
Well, I can't say it didn't work because I never finished it. Well, in my mind, it was 3 to 4 minutes. Well, on top of that, I smoked.
Okay.
5 minutes before I went on. So I couldn't think. My mind wasn't thinking that clearly. And then,
tobacco makes you...
No, weed.
Okay.
And then there was
okay, he has a weed card, by the way. It's okay.
Okay.
There was two conversations going on both sides of the stage. So I'm trying to think my mind when I'm not even thinking clearly in the first place. And then I have to try to block out the two conversations are going on next to me. And then so I start going through the story. In my mind, it took like 3 or 4 minutes tops. Well, I was like 3 or 4 minutes in, and I wasn't even halfway done.
Yeah.
So, and I could already see the crowd, like, when's this shit going to end?
Yeah.
So I found a place in the story, and I just said, just do it. And some people thought that that was the punch, that was, like, the end of it. So, like, I picked up on that, and I was trying to find a place where I could do that, just to end it and move on. And I ended it and moved on. And then, so, he ended up, when I talked to, when Johnny told me I was getting raped on stage, well, he goes, that was, like, a good ending. And then I go, that wasn't the ending. Like, I was letting him know, like, I scrapped that. He goes, well, no, I know, but a lot of people
thought that. Well, yeah,
like, there was good.
Yeah, so you made a good dismount, and he was commenting on that too. Well, see, that's one thing. This is just my opinion, especially if it's an open mic. It doesn't matter if the joke is going bad. Finish it anyway. That's just my opinion. Some people will say to you know, abandon it if it's not going well. But I mean, if it's a professional show and you're being paid to be there, and these people paid money to come in to see a professional show, then if something's not going well, you need to figure out something else to do. But or if you can save yourself, like Will did at Starving Artist a couple nights ago,
yeah,
you know, that was that's the most amazing save I've ever seen a stand up comedy show is what he did. It is, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But, you know, if you're an open mic, the whole point is to practice new material or to hone your performance of older material. And, you know, that's a mistake that I make all the time. Is that I will have a new joke that I want to do, but I also am really insecure and need the audience's love. So I will, like, oh, well, I know these jokes work, so I'm going to do them anyway. Even though I've got a stack of new material that I want to try, my own insecurity makes me afraid to take the risk and do the new stuff, even though it might go well. Like, you know, a lot of times I'll just throw in a quick new joke at the beginning and then just go into older material that I know works. That's not how to grow. And, you know, like I said, I do that all the time. That's not how to grow as a comedian. That's not how you develop more material, and that's not exactly what open mics are for.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to be just trying something.
Yeah, new, yeah.
You know, and then I think too, yeah, it is like a fear factor. You're like, I don't want to try this new thing. Yeah. It might not work, you know. And I think that's what like a lot of people do, too. And like I know some people try new bits, and I do this too. Like you're skeptical about it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you tell it, you'll kind of tell it, and like you wait for approval midway while you tell it, and you don't perform it. You don't just go
full on
and like really perform it. And that's why I think it fails a lot.
Too. Did any of you guys see the joke that the defense attorney told at the beginning of the Zimmerman trial?
Yes.
I didn't watch any of the trial, but I saw him I saw a clip of him telling his joke at the beginning of it, and you know how he spent more time apologizing for the joke first.
Yeah.
Then he spent actually telling the joke.
He was like, if it's bad, don't take it out on George. You know, take it out on me.
Yeah.
So it's okay. It's sorry.
Like, what was the joke?
It was like...
knock, knock.
Who's there?
George Zimmerman.
George Zimmerman, who...
You're on the jury.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of a funny joke. The whole point of the joke, of course, is that you can't get on the jury if you know anything about the case,
because
they don't want you to have, you know, preconceived notions about it before you start seeing the evidence that's being presented.
I don't understand how they find these people, though. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Anyone who knows nothing about George Zimmerman, I would not want them on the jury because they know nothing. Not as a defendant or as a prosecutor, but as a citizen of this country who wants to see justice served. Anyone who has their head so far down into the sand that they don't know about the biggest news story that's going on in the entire country.
Yeah.
I don't want that like kind of person on a jury for anything. Too, and that's like where it happened, you know? Yeah. It's like, how can you like live in Florida and not know?
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you don't watch the news, I mean, you're gonna hear
just interacting
with people. Yeah.
It's like, you know, interacting with people. Someone brings up Zimmerman, you're gonna say, look, I might end up on the jury, so don't tell me anything. La, 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 la. Come on, that's crazy.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. I'm sorry, that's hilarious. No spoilers.
So you're one of those people we wouldn't want, yeah.
I know enough about
well, so like, yeah, you I have some awareness of the case.
Like, I'm an expert. I watch CNN.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I go to Google News and I'll look little stuff here and there, but my parents watch the news every day. Like, that's their religion.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah.
I've watched enough network news to be really well informed about
this. Yeah. So, all it is, I just tell my mom, who got killed today? I mean, that's all it is.
Well, yeah, but you
just tell my mom specifically, no matter where I'm at.
So, mom, who got killed today?
It's all violence and scare. It's anything that will scare you is violent. And her defense is, well, how am I going to know if there isn't a guy walking down the street with an axe? Well, you better hope he's walking around.
You could look out the window.
Yeah, yeah, probably hear it dragging.
When you see him, yeah, you better hope it happens at 5 o'clock or noon.
Breaking news story, man is walking down street with axe on DeWolf Street. Like, yeah, I just told where you live, but like... yeah, that's never going to be a news story.
Well, you know, and that's the crazy thing is that you say, oh, it's all bad news on the news, but that's not entirely true. But every time they do spend some time on what people call fluff pieces, you know, the feel-good kind of stuff, then the news media gets criticized because they're not talking about something important. Yeah. Like, now, they overdo certain fluff things, like the royal baby. They just went insane with that.
Yeah.
CNN had a person just going to hospitals in London talking to pregnant women.
They had, like, a baby names expert on there, too. It's like, come on.
Yeah, it's like, really? We have to go crazy like that? But that's nice. You know, someone's having a kid. That's great. You know, this is a nice story. This is a good story. It's cool. Yeah, as long as it's not me. You know, this is a happy story. And every, you know, oh, the news is all bad stuff. How come they don't ever do? Well, they're doing a good news story. And they get criticized for it. But yeah, they went way too far with it. Yes, that's true. But just the fact that they're doing it, you know, I think it's okay to cover, you know, the heir after next to the British crown and his wife are having a kid. That is a news story worthy of mention. It's not a news story worthy of 72 hours of CNN's watch.
Yeah, because it's like, what else are you
But it is a news story worthy of mention. It's worthy of... of a 3-minute segment on the 6 o'clock news, you know, it's worthy of that.
It maybe be more like popular or relevant, like
yeah,
you know, well, in the UK, but in the United States, it's like this isn't. This
yeah, put
isn't
it on
like
the entertainment.
Put it on. Yeah, exactly. News. It's not Northwest.
I mean, It's like it's not like it's Chloe's pregnancy.
Yeah, then that would then that's really important.
Exactly. Well, hey, we're gonna take a break again real quick. I'm JT Foreman. I'm here with
Jamie Avila,
Carmen Gefkin,
and William Lushbaugh.
No, William Lush, Will the Killer, Will the Thrill,
Lush- Will the Thrill Lushbaugh. I am JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back.
Figure it out. How are you going to figure it out?
I don't know how we're going to figure it out, but this is JT Foreman here with Jamie and Carmen and Will. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back trying to figure it out.
Well, I don't know. I was going to be podcasting with some dick who's calling me out. What do you mean? We got to figure out the Monopoly, right?
JT, yes, Monopoly. News flash here. That's the fake teletype.
That's a good sound guy you hired.
Thank you. I had actually Will did that for me before he left.
The baby?
Yeah, he just recorded it.
I like how when he took off in the car, he put his pacifier in before he went and drove.
Yeah, that was right. That was pretty cool. He's got to stop taking his dad's car without permission. It's amazing watching someone that small drive a Hummer. That's incredible.
That's why I think Kevin loves him more than his daughter, because he lets him take the car out.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't let his daughter take the car out.
She's not allowed to drive for some reason. It's stupid.
I know. Newsflash, Monopoly is getting rid of the jail from the board. They're removing jail from the board. There's no word on what they're going to be replacing it with, but jail will be coming off of the Monopoly board. Now, everyone in America has played Monopoly. Anyone who says they haven't played Monopoly is lying. Full shit. I think more people have not... I think there are more people who truly have never masturbated than never played Monopoly. Because that's just another thing.
I knew you were going there. I don't know how.
Well, because you got to think about something that everyone's done.
Yeah, but everyone lies about. Everyone lies about never masturbating, and so playing Monopoly. Maybe that could be a new euphemism for masturbating. What are you doing? I'm playing Monopoly in the bathroom. Yeah, leave me alone.
Yeah,
it could be.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so what do we think? What do we think of the removal of jail from Monopoly?
Okay, well, you were pretty upset about this, Jamie.
Very upset.
Yeah, you're upset about
the removal. It's a big part of the game.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think
how, and it's supposed to represent life. How are you gonna have life without going to jail?
Well,
just be an upstanding citizen. I don't know why this is so hard.
Well, most people who own like lots of property just don't go to jail much. Like in general,
Maybe that's why they removed jail, because they wanted it to more accurately reflect our current economic system.
Yeah,
because it seems like no matter how much you mess up in economics nowadays, you can melt down the entire world economy and you don't go to jail for it anymore.
Not at all. You'll be fine.
It's starting to make sense.
Yeah. They're just probably going to put in some tiny fine that's only a percent. Percentage of how much you earned by breaking the law.
Or there'll just be like one like Bernie Madoff piece.
I want to be Bernie Madoff.
There's no like crackheads or like weed smokers playing Monopoly like in the game. If there was, because those are the people that would be going to jail.
Let's figure. Okay.
They're going to replace jail with the crack house?
See, okay, here's what you should do. You know how someone like owns like property or like commercial space in Monopoly? That's true. Yeah. Right? I haven't played it. You should be able to rob like the store that is, and then that's how you should go to jail and take just like a small
there
cash.
You go.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you land on, say, Boardwalk and they've got a hotel there, you would have to pay $2,000 in rent. But you can choose to rob the place instead. Yeah. You get $200, but you go to jail.
You might get in.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a good idea. That's awesome.
Call up Hasbro.
Tell them, we need to put house rules. You can put a lot of people play with house rules in Monopoly.
Oh, yeah.
Monopoly.
Yeah.
They just make up some new rules for themselves.
We should call someone about this. Hey, I was sitting and had nothing better to do today. And
I thought I would discuss you guys removing
the
Monopoly board.
Have you heard of the Monopoly board that costs like $100,000?
I've seen all kinds of crazy... collector's items, Monopoly boards. I mean, you can go to a lot of toy stores and see several versions of Monopoly there. You see the Star Wars, but I have heard of, it's like, they're like solid gold pieces and, a redwood board
and life, there's
it's
like
all real money.
Useless.
Yeah. And it's real money. And, it's like that vending machine that's in this one hotel in Dubai.
Oh, that the gold
sells
bars.
Gold bars. Yeah.
What the fuck?
You know, I mean, you know how pissed you get when the Butterfinger gets stuck.
Oh, I know. I could only imagine
how mad you would be if you saw a hanging gold, your hanging gold bar there. I'm like, damn it.
What the fuck are they doing with these gold bars? Like,
it's Dubai, whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, I imagine that not something they ever expected anyone to make a purchase from. They just, hey, let's do something to prove how rich we are.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put in a vending machine that sells gold bars.
Yeah.
I heard in Dubai that it's illegal to be in debt.
Oh, I don't know about that, but it is illegal for a woman to have premarital sex. And in fact, there was a woman from I think it was Norway who was there and got raped.
Yeah, she just got raped and now she's in jail. Yeah, it's bullshit. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
it's because she's in debt. Well, she.
She owed money, and that's probably why he raped
her. But it was her. Well, maybe it was because she asked for it.
What was she wearing?
Was she showing too much ankle?
She's showing so much ankle.
Yeah.
She was wearing a t-shirt.
Oh, that Achilles tendon. Yeah. Ooh.
She had a t-shirt on that just said "rape me." That's what I think she was wearing. So
somehow I don't think so.
If you wear that, then
a
t-shirt that says "recycle."
Well, you know, that's the thing is that people do want to blame the victim with that kind of stuff. If she didn't want to get raped, she wouldn't have been wearing a miniskirt. I've walked all over this town wearing a miniskirt with my panties hanging just out below it and bending over it and show. I've never gotten raped once.
Yeah.
No matter how much I try, nobody will rape me. So I don't think how you dress is really what causes a person to get raped.
Go to jail. You don't have a chance there.
Yeah, if I wear that in jail.
I think why everyone gets raped in jail, because people really want to rape someone who's wearing orange. And so if you're wearing...
Orange is pretty sexy. So that's why you wear the orange shoes.
They probably want to try to rape them.
You know, I'm surprised that it's taking you this long to bring up the orange thing, because you commented on his orange shoes as he was walking toward the door.
Yeah, it was the first thing I
told you to make fun of it on the show, and you still haven't brought it up. You have to talk about Jamie's orange shoes.
Well, the audience can't see his shoes, but Jamie just
look at the sun.
Are those like custom or
they're just as bright? I got him.
He wears he's wearing a very boring striped shirt and
he has a very boring striped polo shirt.
But he has these crazy bright,
just kind of
like day glow orange,
kind of khaki colored shorts, and then just bright orange shoes,
Michael Kors sunglasses.
I think it's good that you wear it because it's like. The best part of you, like, attractive. You have really nice ankles. You know what I mean? Like, that's
you do have pretty sexy ankles. I might have to rape you.
Yeah.
Your ankles are so sexy. I may convert to Islam and then rape you just because your ankles are so sexy.
How long would that take?
That's like converting to Islam.
Yeah.
Depends on how, whether or not a terrorist is holding a gun to your head.
Yeah. It could be like a 20-minute process, but your best part of you is like your ankles. So like a girl is drawn to your feet. Because you're bright and orange, and so it stands out. So she'll like look at you, and then she'll be like, "Oh my god, look at his ankles too!" And then bam, like you already have like a good advance with most women, you know. So I think it's good that you're wearing them. You know?
And women notice shoes. Like that's like the first thing they look at on guys too. So it's like, you got good shoes.
What kind of shoes do I have?
You had like black, like Doc Martin looking things.
Yeah, she noticed my shoes. I have no idea what your shoes
look like.
I've been walking through
the mall, and I could see.
You're not wearing shoes?
No shoes.
I see people, like, they see my shoes from, like, distances. And I see them, like, I see their eyes, like, go towards my shoes, and then they look up, like, who the hell wears shoes like this? So they see me and
So you're wearing the shoes and you're like, hey, my eyes are up here.
Yeah,
my eyes are up here. That's what I'm gonna do. I know. I have sexy shoes. You know, that's your cleavage, is what it is. Your shoes, your orange shoes are your cleavage. You ever catch someone just kind of staring at your shoes?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, I have a hard time keeping my eyes off your shoes. I'm sorry, but you're right. But my shoes, they're not Doc Martens, but they're kind of. I wear steel-toed boots all the time, and it just
a lot of construction going on at the IRS office.
No, when I was in the Navy, we were going through a hurricane, literally going through a hurricane, and walking down the material handling passage, and this like half ton steel plate that was in a rack on the side of the passage. The strap breaks, it pops up out and lands on my foot. And if I had not had steel-toed shoes on, then I would have probably gotten a medical discharge and received full benefits for the rest of my life. So, but, you know, because I had steel-toed shoes on, you know, it bent the steel toe, but it didn't chop the front of my foot off. So I was able to untie the shoe and just pull my foot right out of it. And ever since then, I always wear steel-toed shoes now. Mm-hmm. You know, I realize it's paranoia. You know, I'm not exactly living in a lifestyle or have a workplace where I'm in danger of a half-ton plate of steel dropping on my foot, but it makes me feel better wearing them. And plus, I get to tell myself that I'm always lifting weights. Because my shoes weigh about 5 pounds more than they would otherwise, so I'm carrying extra weight around. So it's a weight loss measure is what it is. I've actually thought about getting weight straps and just putting them around my ankles, just so I'm carrying a little bit more weight all the time, just to, because I don't want to go to the gym.
And it's also
it's easier to just carry something small around with you all the time, I think.
And then just get like a pedometer and then
yeah. Actually, I do go to the gym, but not as much as I probably should.
Do you do anything there?
Treadmill. I'll do an hour on the treadmill 3 to 4 wow. times a week. I'm not running though. I walk fast. I'll set it to 3.5 to 4 miles an hour, depending on how I'm feeling. So I'll go 3.5 to 4 miles, 3 to 4 times a week.
That's good. That's really good.
Huh?
I do like 2-3 miles about 2-3 times a week.
Well, just, you know, as much as exercise help, it's not enough. You gotta have a better diet too. So I'm trying real hard not to be so fat all the time. You know, I want to lose a little bit of weight. I was up to 285, and then I got down to 240, and then I went back up to 270. So now I want to get down to 220, just because I'm tired of. Bending over to tie my shoes and having to hold my breath, basically.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'1".
Yeah. 220, I think, that'd be pretty thin, though.
Actually, 220, would be about right. You know, this list that I saw online of the optimal weight for your height says 185 for me. That seems kind of skinny.
I'm 185 right now.
Yeah, so, you know, for 6'1",
5'8"?
Yeah, so for 6'1", 185 seems...
Yeah, all those
but
lists...
I want to get to 220.
All those lists they're all bullshit because they don't factor in muscle and whatnot. Like, if you look at like the BMI, every single football player in the NFL...
They're considered obese. Yeah.
Especially, like, the guys that are 5'6", the cornerbacks... They're like 190, 200 because they're all muscle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but, see, the BMI isn't taking into account body fat percentage and muscle mass. It's just, you know, measuring the physical size around. But, you know, one thing about getting down to 220 for me though that would be dangerous is I served in the Navy for 8 years. If I had done 12 more years, I'd be able to retire. Now, I work at the IRS now, and I've got about 4 years more. So that means I have 12 years of government service. So if I went back into the Navy, I'd only have to serve for 8 more years, and I'd be able to get a retirement. And if I weighed 220, they would probably let me back in. And so I might be tempted to go back into the military. So maybe I shouldn't go down to 220. Mm-hmm. Because then I would end up, well, you know, financially it would be the smartest thing to do.
Just
and then
go 221.
But, you know, it's like a single guy. It's like a single guy who has an engagement ring or a suicide victim with a loaded gun. You know, this thing could go off at any moment. Oh, yeah. You know, so you got to be careful what kind of things you keep around, you know.
He had like a loaded gun, but his hand's really big, so he has to lose weight. Before he could like fit his finger to pull the trigger.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
Or you have like the hoarding mentality, like, no. Oh, I just got to keep it. Maybe one day it'll be good. I don't know.
Well, that's one thing. Like if you buy an engagement ring and she says no, the jewelry store won't take it back. I that has not happened to me, but I have talked to people who asked a girl who said no, and then the jewelry store wouldn't take the ring back. So now he's got this wedding ring. He's got this engagement ring just sitting around. That seems dangerous to me because, you know, just like to me, if I ask a girl to marry me and she says no, I don't know if I'd be able to stay with her because that would just hurt me so much. But, you know, if you end up breaking up, or she might decide, oh, this guy wants something I don't, and break up with you. It seems to me that would, you know, every TV show or movie where a guy asks a girl to marry him I've ever seen, if she, when she says no, they break up immediately afterwards. So it would seem very dangerous to have the wedding ring lying around, because now you're on the rebound, and the next girl who comes along, you might just kind of, you know, pull the trigger on it. I think that's why in those scenes when the girl says no, the guy always gets mad and throws it into the river. That happened to me next too, because the last one I saw, I think it was an episode of the Bone, the chick who in it was a crime investigation TV show, the woman who
Bones?
Shit, yeah. I've never Jesus, seen show, I can't remember.
You, like, you went,
but he asked this girl to asked this woman to marry her. She said no, so he throws the ring in the river. And of course, I'm thinking to myself, you just paid $5,000 for that thing. What is wrong with you? But you know, he was probably afraid that he might accidentally, you know, just ask the next random woman to marry him.
And, yeah, he's well aware of the sword policy, probably too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I'm sure he was.
That's why the first time if I ever like propose, it's gonna be a fake ring, just in case. Just in case. And then it's
cubic zirconium.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be $150 for the setting, and then just put a cubic zirconium in there. And if she says yes, then I'll come back and get the stones.
Yeah. No. And then if she says anything about the ring too, if she says like this is a fake ring. Yeah, it is, because I didn't know if you were going to say yes.
Oh, well, you might have said no. I mean,
yeah. What do you think? I'm stupid.
It's like, can we spend the rest of our lives together?
Yeah. Hold on 1 second.
No, I can't see, like, I'm like kind of anti-marriage and whatnot. Well, I'm not anti-marriage.
You're against all marriages.
No, I'm not against all marriages, just with myself. Well, one of the main reasons is...
I'm against being married to you also.
Yeah.
Well, one of the main things is... Because when you make that commitment, like, you're not... You're basically saying that neither one of us is going to change. At that time, everything is going fine, but everybody changes. Everything changes. Stuff changes.
Yeah.
And... It's just part of life, and you're saying that neither one of us is going to change. And
what if they're more so saying like they're willing to go through the changes? Yeah.
Well, you know,
that's what you say before you see the changes.
Yeah, but when you see the changes, you're like, I want to change this. You know, emotionally. Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? An analogy about that I heard once is that a guy gets married because she likes the girl how she is, and the girl gets married because she likes the guy she thinks he'll become. And then they get married, and then she changes, and he doesn't, and both of them end up miserable. You know, both of them was expecting the opposite of what ended up happening.
And then on top of that, most marriages end in divorce anyways.
Well, that's not actually true, and, that statistic isn't entirely accurate. It's about 50-50, but here's the thing. Most people who get divorced once get divorced multiple times, so that means something like 75% of first marriages last. So you have a 3 in 4 chance that it's going to be forever. Just if you do get divorced, don't ever remarry.
Because you'll get divorced.
Because you're just going to get divorced again.
No, I know. I've thought about that too, because I know that doesn't factor into all the stats and whatnot. But, I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah, marriage is just... Yeah, I don't know. I could see why you're against marriage, though. Man.
Yeah.
Well, and then at the same time, like, my parents have been married for...
Well, you know, it was great because I was pretending to be concerned about equal rights, and I will never get married until gays are allowed to marry, and now the DOMA decision comes out of the Supreme Court, and I don't have an excuse anymore.
Well, actually, you still do, because that's only in the states where it was legal to begin with.
I am never getting married until they're allowed to gay marry in Mississippi and Arkansas.
Yeah. So
because I believe in equal rights, and it's just the injustice of it all.
And anything you do, like if I want to leave all my stuff to someone, I don't need a court for that.
Well, yeah,
you can set that up.
The problem,
if you want to love someone for the rest of their life, you don't need the court for that either.
So you should leave everything to me.
Well, you could just give them the well, key no, it's, to the store
it, if,
you
if yeah. you're not married to the person, they have to pay a lot of taxes on it. That was what the case against the Defense of Marriage Act that just got to the Supreme Court, that specifically is what it was about. A woman who'd been with another woman for like 40-something years, one of them died, so the other one inherits a $1 million estate, but had to pay 37% taxes on it because they weren't married. If they had been married, she would have simply been able to inherit everything without paying that taxes. You know, so that specifically is what the DOMA case was about. So you can inherit, but then you have to pay all of these federal taxes on the inheritance if it's over a certain amount. But we're going to take a break again real quick. I'm JT Foreman here with Jamie and Carmen and Will. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman here with Jamie, Carmen, and Will. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, now, Jamie. You guys are just amazed that I remembered your names, aren't you?
Yeah.
You notice I skipped over your last names.
They can't stop thinking about how you remember their names. That's how
I know. We're just so happy.
Gefkin.
Yes.
Jamie Avila.
Avila. A-V-I-L-A.
Liar! No. Jamie Avila.
I thought it was Jamie Avila.
Avila. Same thing. Yeah.
As Jamie Avila.
I actually say Avila more than
okay.
Carmen Gefkin.
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 Yeah.
Gefkin.
Got it.
And William.
Lunch Pal.
William.
Lunch Pal.
Will the Thrill, the Lush. Lush Pal.
Yeah. Will I the just, nicknames.
I just say Will Lush.
Chris okay, Cruz, so Will Lush. That's Chris Cruz. That's how he goes.
I think you should just go by Will Lush.
Will Lush? I think I shouldn't go by anything. There's no noise when I go up.
Jamie, you have a story about your adventures at a pool hall recently. So why don't you regale us with your tale of excitement?
That place
and a free picture.
It wasn't a pool hall. It was a bar, and I asked the guy we were gonna play, and I asked him if you want to play for a beer. He said let's play for a pitcher, and I was talking to him before that, so he seemed like a cool guy, like, because I wouldn't just play anybody.
Well, no.
So it's just, I mean, well, as far as...
No, you don't want to play someone who's going to...
for a pitcher.
Well, like, you know, playing is fine, but playing like on playing a bet, you don't want to play on a bet with someone who's going to welch.
Gonna, yeah. So, like, I think I have, like, a fairly good, like, judge and whatnot when I do that. Well, anyways, so we play, and I win, and then he doesn't bring me the pitcher. And then,
right after you won, like, what happened?
They go to the bar, him and his buddies go to the bar, and then he comes back, and they have a pitcher. So I was like, but they're like pouring glasses of it, and I was like, what's up? And then, so he tells me, he goes, oh, I forgot. And then I was like, what do you mean you forget? And I go, well, just give me that pitcher right there. And he goes, no, my friend paid for it. And he's just, and then he goes, here, he had a beer that it wasn't full. Like it looked like there was a little bit gone. He goes, you can have this beer. Just take this beer for now. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm not just going to take your beer. Like, I don't know. He goes, I haven't drank out of it. What? You don't want to take it? And he was just like, just a bunch of stupid shit. Stupid
He's
shit.
Like, well, you don't want my cooties?
Yeah. And then like you owe me a pitcher. You don't owe me no fucking
beer.
Wait,
you didn't use the word cooties at this bar, did you?
Yeah, you can't be
I'm sorry. I apologize for interrupting. Please continue.
No. I don't care if you interrupt. Just
don't ever say the word cooties around him again.
It's a trigger.
Well, fuck. I lose my dog.
Okay, so.
It's only like a half full beer.
Yeah, so I tell him no. And then he's like, well, I'll get your beer when I'm ready. And then he's like telling me, like, I'll find you when I'm ready. Like, I'm chilling with my homies right now. And then that's because I was like, why can't you just go get it right now? And he goes, I'm chilling with my homies. And then I was like, okay. And then he goes, I haven't seen this guy since we've known each other since we were three, and I haven't seen him for fucking 6 years. And I was like, okay. And then, well, he was talking to me the whole time. And then after a while, I was like, dude, you're not even talking to your buddies. You're talking to me. And that's what really made him mad. And then, well, we get to the. That's when he stands up and he like hits it, stomps the table, and he's like, is there a problem, dog? Is there a problem? And then I was like, yeah, there is a problem.
You seem so upset as you tell the story. Yeah. Yeah, there's a problem.
No, like, that's the way. Like, I'm just standing.
Honestly, it makes it a little creepy. I was like, you know what? I would rather face the person who's, yeah, there's a fucking problem, than the person who's like, yeah. There's a problem.
But because
that quiet guy is going to explode. Yeah. I know, because I've been the quiet guy. So that quiet guy will blow up in your face.
That's just the way I am. That's just the way I am, though. Like,
yeah, well, the one who's yelling, you know.
I used to get excited like that, but now, well, that's another thing that, like, goes back to yoga. Like, I relax.
Yoga made you a badass, is what it is.
I just, like, I'll just, like, take a couple breaths and just think about things and then just tell him, like, but when he, and then when he stands up, like, he hits the table and then he, like, puts his shoulders back and he's just like, and I was, and he keeps on telling me dog, like, he was never, when I was talking to him before that, because we were talking during the game and whatnot about sports, a bunch of other stuff, he never referred to me as dog. And then when he was trying to get bad with me, then he started saying,
what did he
dog.
Refer to you before the dog?
Nothing. We were just talking like normal people.
Okay, so he's like, you got a problem? And you're like, yeah, there's a problem. Okay, what did you say after that?
I go, we bet a pitcher, and I haven't got the pitcher yet, and you don't want to get it. And then he's like, well, just wait, whatever. And then I go, well, I want it. My mouth is getting, like, my mouth is dry. I was, like, thirsty. And he goes, if you're thirsty, go suck that guy's dick. And then I go, really?
What did that guy think of that?
I go, really? That, like, that's how it's going to be? And then he goes, I told you I'll get it when I'm ready. I'm a man of my word. I won't do that. And then I was like, okay, well,
at now this you point, know he's a liar. Anyone point, who feels the need to yeah. point out how they're a man of their word.
He's like, is pinky not promise, a
man of
bro.
Pinky promise.
Yeah, that was probably coming up next.
Pinky sweared. We pinky sweared. How could you do time, this, man? We pinky sweared.
At that time,
I used my broken pinky, the one that didn't set right, so it's all crooked. That doesn't count. That's like crossing your fingers.
Broken pinkies.
My right pinky, I broke it when I was in high school, and it's all bent now. So if I pinky swear and I use my right hand, I don't really mean it. Remember that. If I use my left hand, that's the one with the pinky is not.
I just
straight.
You being the mad guy, but explaining that. No,
there
you
go.
Being like, yeah, but my pinky.
Yeah, but I pinky swear, but I pinky swear with my right hand.
Okay, but go. So
sorry.
So he wants to pinky square.
I don't think he really wanted the pinky swear. You know, I just don't see anyone who refers to you as dog as the kind of person who's going to pinky swear.
But he called himself a man of his word.
So okay, so he said he's a man of his word, and then what?
Well, at that time I left, I started talking to the bouncers, and I was just letting him know that he's there with two other buddies. Like, they're out of the situation though. They're not saying anything the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then, I was just letting them know the situation, like how this guy's yeah. being and whatnot. Like, just I wasn't asking for them to go collect my debts or anything.
Yeah.
Like, I was just telling him, like, look, like, this is how he's being. Like, if he something happens, you know, like, this is
okay.
This is what's going on.
You're warning them in case, you know,
just to watch me.
So when you go up to him the next time and say, yeah, where's my pitcher, and they throw a swing at you, he throws a swing at you. So they know what's going on.
Yeah. Okay. So it was real busy. It was real busy at the place though. So, like, I was talking to him, I talked to a couple of them, and they're just like, yeah, yeah, but, like, at the same time, they have a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
And then that's when I went and saw Nate outside, and I talked to
Nate
him.
Nate Follin.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, he's...
And then I
talked to him. For the many fans of the podcast, Nate Follin has been on the podcast before. He's a really funny guy. Great dude. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I talked to him, and I told him what's going on. He's like, fuck that guy. And then he goes, just go ask him again, and if he doesn't, just say, like, you're a coward. I thought you were mad at your word, but you're a coward.
Yeah.
So we walk inside, and then they're at the bar, and then so they're he's at the bar, and then his buddy's, like, standing behind him, and then because he's paying, he has his card out, so he gets two pitchers, and then he gets one and pours out two beers, and then gives me a half a pitcher. And then he hands it to his buddy. His buddy hands it to me, and he goes, there you go, handle it. Like, that's the first words his buddy says. I go, what do you mean handle it? Like, we better pitch her. This isn't pitcher. And he goes, well, just take it. Just go. Get out of here. And then that's when I just told his buddy. I go, it was, like, real loud and whatnot, too. So I just told him and his buddy. I go, well, I thought you were a man of your word, and you're just a coward. But that's that.
And yeah. And what did they
so say? You only got half a pitcher. You didn't get the whole pitcher.
But at the same time, I didn't even really want to drink that much. Like, I was just going to give a lot of it to Nate and a couple other friends. Like, I only wanted, like, one beer because I was our –
I'd love to borrow $100,000 to buy a house and pay back $50,000. That'd be awesome. I'd love to be able to just take all of my debts, chop them in half, and pay that, and to say, well, you know, you just take it and go. Take it and go.
Well, and then on top, well, speaking of debts, it just came out like on TMZ, they're saying that, like, Aaron Rodgers, you know what Aaron Rodgers is?
No.
Football player?
Okay.
Well, he's like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's already welched on, like, some other debt that he bet some guy that, Ryan Braun just got kicked out for steroids. He's bound for the rest of the year. He bet someone saying that Ryan Braun, if Ryan Braun was convicted, if they said he was steroids.
What the fuck did he bet him?
He said he'd give him his salary, which is $4.5 million.
If he got caught doing steroids, he'd give this other player his salary.
No, this is some random guy on Twitter.
Okay, so he told him through Twitter that.
Well, you know what?
If
he got banned for the rest of the season, then his salary for the rest of the season is zero.
No, Ryan Braun. No, he was saying that about Ryan Braun.
Oh, okay.
So Ryan Braun just got banned for the rest of the season.
Oh, okay.
And then now people are saying, like, but there's already been another little thing that he bet. Or he said he bet.
Well, you know, I don't consider that kind of BS to be a real bet. You know, you're playing pool against
someone.
Don't
say it, though.
That's not real, though.
Yeah, you're
just. And anyone who thinks something like that is real is just retarded.
No, I know, but people just say, I don't think
that's
how
you should
say that.
Retarded people.
Do you still challenge people, like, when you play pool for pitching?
Yeah,
did you learn your lesson?
No lesson. But at the same time, I only play people that I see play, and I know I have a good chance of beating. Like, most, and if not, I'll just play them.
Oh, so you're a pool shark and you're ripping people off. I see how it is. Okay.
Not really. I mean, I'm giving, like, it's all fair. It's all fair. Like, and that's the thing too. I've been called. People have been watching me. They've watched me play, and they'll walk up and they'll tell me, "Oh, you're a shark. I see the way you play." Like. So I tell them, so I take it you don't want to play for a beer then. And then they go, no, I'll play for something cheap, because they don't want to say no. Yeah. I don't know how many times I play people, they tell me I'm better than them, but they'll still play for a beer because they don't want to say no. And they'll play for one or two, but.
Well, they're hoping to get you drunk enough that you won't be any good anymore, and then they'll start betting you money.
Maybe they really want to be your friend.
Do you guys ever see the movie Digstown? The opening sequence in that is awesome. This dude, he goes into a bar in Digstown, and they're like, hey, you know, I heard about you. They say you're pretty good at cards. Why don't you sit down? And he's like, no. These cards just turned into money in these hands. They used to call me the Cleveland Collector. And the guy sitting at the table is like, well, we're going to be calling you the Cleveland Fool when you're done with you. And, you know, the guy's like, are you serious? I'm going to take all your money. Yeah, sit down. And so it goes on, and the guy takes all of their money, and at the end they say, man, he's scammed us. It's like, what? I told you I was gonna win, and now you're pissed off because you didn't listen? So that's what you are. You tell them you're gonna win, and then they get pissed off because they didn't listen.
They don't get pissed
basically
off.
Oh, okay. Well, that one guy got pissed off. He didn't want to give you the.
Well, he was just stupid. He didn't want to lose. He didn't want to pay anyways. Well, cause that was the thing. He's one of those guys that will play, and if he loses, he thought he could just, like,
he's tell just me, gonna intimidate you.
Yeah, and then I'll just go away. Like,
oh, you know what? Sure that's worse. Right. He's already done.
You're supposed to pick the right guy.
Because if he had won, there's no way he would have let you walk away from the table without buying it.
He would have. So I don't know what he'd done, but.
Well, anyway, now that we ended that on a high note, hey guys, thanks a lot for doing the podcast. I really appreciate it. That guy's a jerk. Don't play pool with him anymore. Actually, get him to make him buy the pitcher first. because that way you can just like grab it and go. But
then that's also like predicting that you'll win. So
well, see, both of you buy a pitcher, and then they sit there, and then the winner gets to take then both of them.
The both winner gets two warm pitchers.
Yeah, they're exactly. well, hey, do you guys have any shows coming up that you want to plug? Anything going on in the near future you want both of our listeners to know about?
I just want people to follow me.
Okay, Jamie, what? Facebook, Twitter?
Just follow me. Like, if they see me around,
if you see Jamie on the street, just follow him around. So
then like,
look for the orange shoes.
Yeah, look for the orange shoes.
Then people, because some people have a following, but if people followed me, and then they see me walking down the street, and they saw like 10 people following me, like they'd be like, "That guy has a following. He has a big."
Yeah,
that's right. You want your own entourage, is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Can't wait. Can't wait for you to use that at the next open mic.
So you guys are following me, just you know, walking up and down the street. Will, do you have any shows coming up you want to plug?
It doesn't matter. I think I'm doing some bullshit. It's not bullshit. It's nice.
The self promotion is really important.
Well, yeah, no, just go to my Facebook.
Okay, William Lushbaugh on Facebook. I'll put a link to both of their Facebooks. Are you on Facebook, Jamie?
Go to a show. No? Just go to a show in a local town.
Are we friends on Facebook?
No, we're not friends.
Oh. Okay. All right, fine. We're not friends. Fuck you. And Carmen, I'm pretty sure we're not friends on Facebook. You don't want to be my friend on Facebook. And
maybe.
Might start following you. do you have any comedy shows coming up? Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to talk about that you're going to be doing in the near future?
No comedy at the moment. I guess whatever everyone else is doing.
So you're going to open mics?
Yeah.
Every Tuesday night at Starving Artist Bistro. That's on Fryant and something.
Fort Washington.
Fort Washington.
Yeah.
So that's every Tuesday. Show starts at... show's scheduled to start at like 9 and then actually starts at 9:30 or something like that.
Something like that.
Let's see. Are there any other open mics that are going on regularly?
Great talent in town.
Your open mic at Henry's. Are you going to be doing that again?
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday at 8:00 at Henry's. That's in downtown Clovis on Fifth Avenue, just west of Clovis Avenue. If you know where Fulla Bowl is, it's just across the alley from there. It's too bad they're not open. You know, a place like Fulla Bowl. If I owned that place, I would be open until 1 or 2 in the morning because drunk people are coming out of the bars and they would kill for a roast beef sandwich. I'm telling you.
I don't know if they have a license. A steak sandwich. I don't know if they can have a license for that though. Cause
They're selling food.
Nobody sells food. I don't know how that should.
I don't know. I mean, I don't see why a restaurant can't be open later. I mean, you know, it's not even really a restaurant. It's just all to go. But you know, when I was up in Sonoma, and after a show, we went to this bar, and it was like 1:30 in the morning. I was there with a few other comics, and there was a bakery right nearby. And we started talking to the people in the bakery. They're like, "Hey, man, you got any food for sale?" They sold us like some cheese bread for a couple bucks a piece, or something. You know, just handed them the money over the fence, and they gave us the food. But you know, drunk people will eat anything. They're just desperate for food because they need to have something to puke up, I guess. Yeah. You want to have it's no fun if there's no chunks in it.
Yeah, you just got
just puking pure liquid is this no fun at all? If there's no fun, if there's no chunks,
it's like confetti.
Really. I know exactly. It makes it a party.
Yeah.
just in like confetti, you want to puke up into the air. Yeah. So it gets all over. Anyway, guys and gal, thanks a lot for coming to do the podcast. I really appreciate it. Don't punch me. Even though I called you a gal.
It's all
his
good.
Gal's punch.
Yeah.
My gal will punch.
That's what we're
doing
today.
Yes. You know.
Thanks a lot for coming to do the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was fun.
I am JT Foreman. This has been Bitter Comics Podcast with Jamie Avila and Carmen Gefkin and William Lushbaugh. I am JT Foreman. I am the Bitter Comic. And I will talk to you next week. Peace.
Woo.